Hello and welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Dan Dimitay and I'm here in the Damascus studio.
Illustrious
Damascus studio with my good friend and co-host Aaron Richards.
Hi everybody. I'm super great today.
Oh man, today is going to be a on fire show. We are going to be talking about the extraordinary call to sainthood and the potential of the young church to rise up and to become saints. And so Aaron, why don't you just open us in prayer today?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we're so thankful for the love that you have for your church and the call that you've placed on each of our hearts. You call us to be saints, and you call us to lives that are extraordinary, that lives of sainthood aren't meant to be boring, Jesus, but that lives of sainthood are meant to be an amazing and an awesome adventure. So we say yes to the adventure that you have planned for our lives. Mm-hmm. We say yes to the call that you've given to us. And Jesus, today we pray for a greater conviction for the mission to which you've called us, Lord, and that you would empower us with the grace to respond.
Yeah, Lord, we're just so thankful for just the gift of all the saints in the church and the extraordinary gift that you call us to be saints, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to respond to the grace that you pour out and to live the life that you have paid for us. Lord, I pray that all of our listeners today will just have the fire of the Holy Spirit stirred up again in their hearts, that those who are weary and tired, that they would be renewed in their spiritual life and they would start seeing their life from your perspective, from heaven's perspective, and not from the world's perspective. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
So, Aaron, I'm really excited today. Just a kind of for our first-time listeners, Beyond Damascus is all about how encounter meets mission, that just like St. Paul had his conversion on the road to Damascus, that experience not only transformed his life personally, but it gave him that opportunity to be prayed with for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he left Damascus and he brought the church to the nations, and he brought the church beyond, you know, to the Gentiles, to kings, to nations. And that's what we're called to do, to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ and to allow that life-changing encounter to launch us into a life of mission.
Amen. And for all of our first-time listeners, or maybe someone who might need a reminder today, so Dan and I work full-time here at a place called Damascus as well, here in Central Ohio. And our mission, this is a young adult missionary community, and we serve, we serve all kinds of people. Our goal is to awaken, empower, and equip a generation to live the adventure of the Catholic faith. And we're seeing that happen here on our campus. We're seeing it come alive. You know, Dan, a number of years ago, we went through a process of kind of identifying what are some of the core values of our organization. And as we've grown and matured, we've kind of, I don't know, we've drawn new language around those initial core values. But I was looking through a document the other day from, I don't know, 2010 or 11, and it had had our core values on them. One of the core values that I really appreciated the way that we worded it was that as an organization, Catholic Youth Summer Camp, Damascus, we believe in the potential of young people, right? And while we, you know, we don't really have that posted anywhere any longer as a core value of our organization, that's still one of the rules that we live by.
It's part of our heart for sure.
Yeah. That you know, there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no barrier to entry when it comes to living life as a disciple. That Jesus actually he makes it so simple for us to respond. Why? Because he desperately wants us to partner with him in the process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, over the last 20 years, Aaron and I have been doing youth ministry, and collectively, we've probably seen close to 1 million young people, you know? I mean, it's just amazing the amount of young people that have come through our ministries over the time, over the years. And there's something about the young church, middle schoolers, high schoolers, young adults, there's something captivating about the way the Holy Spirit can work through their lives. There's this openness to the supernatural. There's this hunger for a life of extraordinary greatness. There's this humility and docility that sometimes, you know, adults struggle with. And, well, and anybody, they're not set in their ways. They're formable. They're moldable.
That's right. Anybody with kids can testify, right? That Sometimes it's so much easier for a kid to step into a process than it is for you as an adult. Why? Because they don't have to unlearn the stuff that they've like
years and years and years
been,
of bad
been,
habits.
Been poisoned by, right?
Yeah. And they don't carry baggage sometimes. They're free to hope. And it's really amazing. Just this idea that we believe in the potential of the young church is that what do we believe in their potential? Well, we believe that the call that Jesus Christ gave to his apostles is the call that he gave to every member of his church, not just the older members of his church. So we believe that the young church is called not to be the future of the church, but the church today, that they are called to the Great Commission. They're called to take the gospel to the nations. They're called to evangelize. They're called to witness. They're called to the apostolic works of the church. They're called to serve the poor. They're called to fight for the end of abortion. And what we've seen over the years is when you call them into that, they respond to it, right?
Amen. And sometimes with greater zeal and passion than we would expect.
Yeah. And that's why like Beyond Damascus is so important, because most youth ministry efforts are just oriented around Damascus experiences. That, hey, we want you to come and we want you to encounter Jesus. And that's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely necessary. Like every individual person has to have that moment where they have encountered the love of Jesus Christ and their life has been transformed and set on a new horizon, where the relationship with God becomes real and vibrant and living. But they also need that invitation to go beyond that Damascus experience into a life of mission. And we like to say that we form our young people with deployment in mind. And that idea of the encounter leads to the work of mission. And when you do that, it's amazing, because I think kids or young people kind of jump into deployment fast with a fearlessness.
Yep. It's so should we be intimidated by this? No.
We should be excited by it.
We should be excited by it. You know, the role of a parent is to see their child eclipse them in success, in virtue, in holiness. And when you look through the story of Scripture, I mean, God regularly calls young people to come and to respond. Even you know, I don't know, sometimes our artwork would show that Jesus himself was 33 years old.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's technically in the young adult classification still.
hasn't
reached 35. So he was the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry was reaching out to Jesus.
That's hilarious. And in any case, you know, you see in the Old Testament, you see in the New Testament that the men and women that the Lord calls into action, right? That they're often in the place of influential passion and zeal within the context of their youth.
Yep. Yeah. James, John, Peter, Andrew, the apostles, they were teenagers and 20-year-olds.
So if you're young and you're listening to the show, awesome.
Yeah.
This show's for you. If you are a parent or a grandparent, or if you are a role model, if you're outside of the young adult classification, this show's for you.
Yeah.
Why? Because God intends to inspire something in us, and we have a responsibility, and we have an amazing opportunity to actually call out that potential that we can witness to, that we can advocate to, that we can believe in the young people that we're surrounded with.
And so what is the call that the Lord places on their lives and our lives? It's simply the call to sainthood. The God calls the ordinary to be extraordinary. The Lord calls the natural to be supernatural. And I mean, we have a God of transformation who takes ordinary men and women all the time and makes them extraordinary saints. And you see in the lives of those in Scripture, like an ordinary teenage girl named Mary becomes the extraordinary queen of heaven and earth. An ordinary shepherd named David becomes the greatest king of the kingdom of Israel. Like, the Lord takes the ordinary and makes them extraordinary. And he takes ordinary bread and wine and makes it his extraordinary body and blood. And it just, like, when I look at the bread and the wine at Mass, I'm like, okay, if the Lord can take that which is lifeless and make it divine, he can probably do something with me. That's pretty awesome, right? Like, if he chooses to use a vessel like bread to become a supernatural, extraordinary instrument by which he is able to give himself to the masses, imagine what he can do with me, and with you, and with anyone. And so the Lord just wants us to realize that in our ordinary lives, the Lord is calling us to an extraordinary destiny.
Yep. Yep. That's amazing. And as we respond to that, as we partner with him, that's the reason these stories are inspiring.
Yeah.
Right. There's, you know, it's great giving conferences to parishes and, you know, we had the opportunity to go over and to speak at an awesome conference in Paris last year. And I remember I had opportunity to share testimony. And the testimony that I chose to share was about an eighth grade student here at Damascus on retreat who came to retreat confident in his eighth grade atheism, right? he'd made an intellectual determination that God wasn't something he was interested in. And through the course of the weekend, he was invited into a process of prayer. And in prayer, he asked a question of the Lord. And for the first time, to his shock and surprise, he heard the Lord speak to his heart.
Mm.
And ultimately gave his life to Jesus that day and entered into a process of engaging in the gospel message on this class retreat. And the adults in the room, as I shared this testimony, it was like their hearts were just struck. They broke out in spontaneous applause as I shared this. Why? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, here in America, in Europe, actually more profoundly, there's we've got this juxtaposition between the potential of young people to transform the world and the observed reality that they're not responding.
Yeah.
Right. And it's almost like that gap becomes all the more impactful, right? That poverty becomes all the more real because of the fact that there's such a great potential for change and for impact. Yeah. So when a young person's hurt, when a young person's, you know, God forbid, when a young person's killed, those are the incidents that we look to with such profound sadness. Why? Because of the potential for greatness and impact.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that potential can be realized here and now, right? Amen. Right in their right in their life today. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the extraordinary life of Blessed Carlo
and
his path to sainthood, as well as the call for all of the church to become saints.
Amen.
Which will be amazing. So you're listening to Beyond Damascus, and we will be right back after this short break.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
How should we pray? The disciples asked our Lord that question, and he gave them the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. But he also gave them the liturgy, which is the most privileged form of prayer in the Catholic tradition, especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We can pray with the whole church in the liturgy of the hours, or the Divine Office, and we should also pray in our own private room, our secret chamber, as Jesus says, and then our Father who sees us in secret will reward us.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. So Aaron, I'm really excited. We have a guest for our show today, Michael Litchens, and he is an editor at Catholic Exchange. Catholic Exchange's mission is to make saints in our own time.
That's a pretty sweet mission.
That seems to be God's mission as well. So I think they're focused on the right thing. So let's welcome Michael. Hey, yeah. Michael, good to meet you, man.
Michael, thanks for joining us.
Hi, gentlemen. It's great to join you today. Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, no problem. You are a blessed man. You have the same mission statement as Jesus, which the whole church should have the same mission statement of Jesus, to seek and save the lost and to make saints in our own time. I love that. So let's get that work done. Michael, why don't you just share a little bit about you've done a lot of research on one of our newer upcoming saints in the church, Blessed Carlo, who was just 15 years old and is when he passed, and now he's on the path to sainthood. Would you like to share a little bit about who he is and what makes him so great?
I'd love to. I'd say the best way to describe him, if you were to Google him and read the news reports and all that about him, the thing that you would hear is that he died at 15. So, and he's being beatified just this last October. So he's the first millennial beatified person. And as Father Will Conquer, a man I've gotten to work with who got to meet all of Blessed Carlo's extended family, he points out he'll be the first saint to have had a cell phone and know what Google is,
which
is something that seems so strange to think about, but because he's
it's
so
still
close
possible,
to us,
people.
But also so distant in that way.
Yeah, that's amazing. He also has an amazing hairstyle, right?
And the choice in clothing came about
because he didn't care, which, as we know, not caring about if you look cool is what helps you to look cool. So he managed to figure that secret out.
Yeah, which is so interesting too, because the millennial church is like the untapped church, right? Like we're mm-hmm. looking statistically at like, oh my gosh, how do we bring back this lost generation? And at least here in America, the millennial generation is the first post-Christian generation where we have more nons or nuns, right? The non-affiliateds than we do Christians. And there's this major disaster of like, we're losing the generations for Christ Jesus. And Jesus is like, hey, I got this under control. I'm going to populate the heavens with intercessors for these lost generations. So Blessed Carlo, when did he pass?
He passed away on October 12, 2006.
And when was his beatification process started?
That beatification process started almost immediately. People started recalling miracles, including his own parents, pretty quickly. The first approved miracle, I think, happened 2018, and that was where a young man named Matthias was miraculously cured from a pancreatic disease that was causing him to not be able to eat or move. But when his parents said a novena within days after finishing the novena, he actually was seeking out and desiring food, which I've had family said similar diseases, and any time they like said, oh, I really want to eat something, we went crazy because just for them to have an appetite was such a miracle. But in this case, there wasn't hope that this young man would ever get his appetite back, but it happened within a few days. And then he was finally beatified officially by Pope Francis, who has been a great encourager of Blessed Carlo and the group movement around him. He beatified him in October, meant to do it earlier, but there was this little thing called COVID that happened last year that delayed everything. So that was one of them, but he is now Blessed Carlo, and we are proud to have him in our litany.
That's amazing. Are there any other miracles that you know that are attributed to him?
There's one. Father Will Conquer, who priest I worked with who wrote the original book of Millennial in Paradise, he discussed several young men who had intense anxiety to a point where one particular young man was not able to even go to church because crowds terrified him. I have a heart for that because I too have anxiety that gets in the way of everything. And this young man learned about Blessed Carlo, went to Assisi to visit his shrine and prayed for him. And within a few days, he noticed that he didn't have the racing heartbeat. He didn't suddenly wasn't terrified of crowds or being talked to, and he was able to go to mass and go to adoration. And that may seem like a small miracle, but anyone who has any type of high anxiety will tell you, oh no, I'll take that miracle right now for any price.
No, that's awesome. We'll pray for that. Come, Lord Jesus.
It's for free by Blessed Carlo.
Actually, you know what? I think that's so, I just love that so much because I find in working with young people, the demonic stronghold on the young generation right now is anxiety. And it's just amazing the rampant number of young people who experience anxiety on a level that just I don't remember being around. And I think that's just a sign that the Lord is saying, hey, you know what? I hear the cry of the poor and I'm coming to your aid, that there is freedom at hand, and that now is the time for us to conquer this brokenness in our generation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And like with so much of Blessed Carlo, it can seem from our point of view so small and even insignificant, but we see that those, like you guys were talking about in your introduction, those little things using ordinary people are the very things that can have lasting impacts that we feel centuries afterwards. And we're starting to, it's exciting as a Catholic who's studied so many famous historical figures in our church to see this young man already having this impact.
Absolutely.
Yesterday would have been his 30th birthday. And even beyond the grave, he's having this incredible impact across the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, so why don't you share a little bit about how Blessed Carlo passed away, right? Because that's kind of like a 15-year-old dying seems like a tragedy to me.
It is a tragedy. And don't get me wrong, his parents were shaken up about it. His mother ended up receiving one of his miracles, according to her, and she believes this very sincerely. Carlo was an only child, and so when he was dying, you can only imagine the heartbreak even more so. But within a few days after he had passed away, she had actually become pregnant, which was not something she thought was even in the realm of possibilities. And she credits her son for being such a good son that he would look after his mom even if he couldn't be there himself.
Wow, that's wild. And,
yeah, a very good Italian boy, as we might say.
Yeah, I'll take care of mom. That's awesome. And did he have cancer or what
was his scenario? He had leukemia, unfortunately. And when he was diagnosed, this was a thing that speaks to his holiness. He got diagnosed with leukemia and immediately started offering up his sickness and sufferings, not for a cure, not to make his life easier. He offered it for the greater grace of the church and for the mission and work of Pope Benedict, who was Pope at the time, of course. And he said in writing, "I offer all my sufferings I have to undergo for the Lord, the Pope, and the Church." And that was his constant prayer.
That's pretty sweet.
And he also planned to go visit sites of Eucharistic miracles because that was a research project he was very enthusiastic about. He didn't get to go to all these sites, unfortunately, but his work continued on. And to this day, one of the most heartfelt things I ever saw was during this lockdown period. A lot of people are using Blessed Carlo's resources to build these little mini museums of Eucharistic miracles in these churches that couldn't be filled during the lockdowns. So even if somebody couldn't make it to Mass, they could learn more about these Eucharistic miracles and see that Jesus is in the Eucharist, even if we're not always aware of it. And sometimes he's in the Eucharist in a way that is so obvious you can't deny.
Yeah, so he was someone who wasn't just like in his own little world seeking holiness for himself. Like he was researching as a young teenager, researching Eucharistic miracles and building a website to get information out about the Eucharistic miracles. What can you share more about that?
Absolutely. It's honestly one of his most enduring works. If you go to carlocutis.com, you'll find links to his websites. And on those websites, you can actually print out like large posters about these Eucharistic miracles. But he was moved by them when he had discovered about some of the Eucharistic miracles that had been happening. But Italy has a few well-documented ones, but he had learned about ones in Argentina, Austria, Belgium, and all across the world. Sometimes these Eucharistic miracles, it would be, say, the host would start bleeding, which, of course, science can't explain. Even if you took a needle and inserted blood into the Eucharist, it's not going to just bleed constantly. That's not a thing that's physically possible. Yeah. And so it tends to be one of the most strangest.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And it's a thing that you can't deny when you see it and encounter it. So he was in love with Jesus in the Eucharist anyways. He had developed that love from the time he was 7 years old when he begged his parents to get him his first communion, which was unusually young in Italy. But he begged his parents to get first communion. And from that day forward, he would tell people his devotion to the Eucharist was for him talking to his best friend. This was forming a relationship with the mighty God, but also seeing that God isn't just far away. He is with you in the elements of the Eucharist. In the Spirit, he is there with you and will always be with you. That promise he would be with us till the end of the world. And there he is in the Eucharist, but we've seen the statistics. We all know like the majority of Catholics don't even believe in the real presence in North America right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and
crazy.
So for him to take that, I honestly can only describe this as grace, that this young man had such a love for the Eucharist that he wanted other people to love the Eucharist too. And he wasn't just going to do it by casual conversation, but going to overwhelm us with so much information and so much testaments to miracles. And that in turn leads people to have a deeper appreciation of love of the Eucharist and to, in Blessed Carlo's words, to see the Eucharist as their highway to heaven and as a conversation with their best friend.
Yeah. Amen. And all I can do is say to that is so in line with what I've experienced in youth ministry, that young people, when they encounter Jesus in the Eucharist, their lives are transformed. And it's like the hunger for the young church to have an incarnational experience with Jesus is so real. I mean, over and over again, our ministry at Catholic Youth Summer Camp and in our retreats, it's Eucharistic adoration and catechesis around the Eucharistic encounter with Jesus at the Mass is so pivotal. It's central to everything we do, because what we have found is it's the linchpin for conversion. Like when a young person encounters Jesus in the Eucharist, boom, it's like game over. You die to yourself and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus.
We have a lot of people who will come and will, you know, what's the secret recipe?
How do you do what you, like all the fruit you're producing, like what is it?
It's just Jesus.
So we have this thing in the church called the Eucharist. It's amazing. But it is, you know, it's helping young people almost like Paul, there was scales on his eyes and the scales fall from his eyes when he gets healed from blindness. And I find that a lot of times there are scales on young people's eyes where they've maybe learned about the Eucharist with their mind and, but not with their heart. And when their heart realizes and discovers Jesus hidden in the Eucharist, it's like, it's just something inside of them becomes alive. You know, that such a young saint that is able to, as a teenager, say, okay, and I love that because, it's so he's just a millennial saint. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go online, I'm going to start a website, and I'm going to start getting the world to know about Eucharistic miracles. That's like evangelization as a young teenager. And it's so normal and it's so easy. Like I can evangelize on Facebook, on Instagram. Like I can evangelize.
I started a website when I was little.
Did you? What was it about? I probably wasn't Eucharistic miracles.
My sister was obsessed with a band called Hanson.
Oh gosh. I really did not like Hanson.
So
the hairstyles,
so I started a website.
The bops.
I started a website called I Hate Hanson.
I started a website about UFOs when I was 13, so not nearly as cool as you.
Meanwhile, Blessed Carlo.
So this is why he's up for canonization, and we're lagging behind. Yeah, I hate hands. Is that live? Still live?
You know, I haven't checked on
it. You probably haven't
in
paid
a couple,
for
in a couple decades. Like,
what about the UFOs, Michael? How'd that turn out for you?
I think it's. I remember I found it when GeoCities still archived their web pages. That I was 19 and already embarrassed by myself.
Yeah,
but I don't know what it's out there.
That's fair.
If it's still out there, and someone finds out I liked UFOs at 13.
Inside of you, there is a deep desire for the supernatural. That's why.
Exactly.
That was the hiddenness of God manifesting itself.
Gosh.
So that's amazing, right? This is the potential of the youth, and it's not like the one problem I have. Yeah. With canonization, if you can have a problem with canonization, is that sometimes people think that I'm not a saint or I'm not called to be a saint unless the church tells me I'm a saint, right? And like by right of our baptism, we're all part of the communion of saints. And so if I'm in the state of grace, right, I'm in the communion of saints. And so we're simply acknowledging something about a supernatural or an extraordinary life in Blessed Carlo, but his life is no different than mine, and it's no different than the way we should minister to young people. So it should be the expectation the 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds would have the capacity and the knowledge to not only encounter Jesus, but then to lead others to encounter him, to live a life of mission, and then not only to leave that life of mission, but then to also have that understanding of suffering and what to do with that. Maybe, Michael, could you share a little bit more? Like, I know there was a Blessed Carlo also had a devotion to the poor and like kind of helped the poor. Can you share some of those stories?
Absolutely. One of just one of those things that you can't believe a young man could have figured this out, because I still struggle with this knowledge and actually believing it. But He truly believed that you could find Christ in any person, that there was some an image of God that was created into them and breathed into mm-hmm. that person. And so when you are loving your mother, your best friend, when you are loving the beggar on the street, you are also in a very direct way loving and honoring God. And so his devotion, everything he did was done out of love and wanting to share Christ with people. Among the weird, I won't say weird, it seems weird to our modern ideas, but he was greatly influenced by St. Francis of Assisi, as I think almost 8 out of 10 Catholics are. All of us know who he is and know his story. But for Blessed Carlo, when he hears the story of St. Francis, it's not just so much of a almost fairy tale like person, but it's, oh, that's what we can be. That's how you can bring Christ to others. And St. Francis's life and teachings very much honor the poor, not just as this is the nice thing to do, this is the polite thing to do, but this is what Jesus demands of us, because by helping to clothe, to feed, to house the poor, we are helping to clothe, to feed, and to house our Lord Jesus Christ. And many saints have warned us to always give kindness to the poor, because we may encounter angels in that way who are visiting us unseen. And I, with Carlo, you see it all throughout his life, that each person he encountered was more deserving of the wealth and the privileges than he was in his mind. So much so that even as a teenager at 11 and 12, he refused to wear clothing with brand names or that advertised anything, which that's impressive for an adult to do. For a kid, like, you guys remember, I mean, I got beat up because all my clothes came from Goodwill. There's kids are cruel, but see, so I can't imagine being a young man going, yeah, I don't want to be materialistic, even if it gets me subjected to bullying or harassment. Mm-hmm. And it did, but he would not. And in those cases, he would not wear the clothes. He kept his hair however it grew and whatever he did, which I love. We talked about it up top that the hair is pretty awesome.
It's because that may be less a sign of holiness.
Yes.
It's more but, sign that he
the
was
sign
a
of holiness, though, was person. That he was able to rise, and he came from a pretty solidly middle-class Italian family. So yeah. His family certainly had the wealth. He had a full-time nanny as a child and things of that nature. And yet he was able to grow from that and never adopt the materialistic consumerist ideology that all of us have, whether we want it or not. Most of us have to live with that ideology. And I think that's one of the great testaments to the grace he was given, that he was able to see beyond our petty concerns for looking good, being popular, and see that there was something much bigger and much grander to be working towards.
Yeah, that's amazing. I just love that. Like, and this is like, oh man, what Jesus did in the lives of the saints, he wants to do in our lives. That it's meant to be a testimony of what can happen in me. And so when he looks to Francis, he says, oh, I can be like Francis. When he looks to Mother Teresa, he says, oh, I can be like Mother Teresa. It's not that there are these like far off lofty people. It's that, no, Jesus wants me to live like that. And I can, because why? Because they were living like Jesus and they were animated by the Holy Spirit that enabled them to do that. And the same Holy Spirit that they had, hey, I have, right?
Yep.
And right? So the Spirit of God that gave Francis his spirituality and the Spirit of God that gave Mother Teresa her spirituality is the Spirit of God that lives in me, that gives me my spirituality. So I can live the life of Jesus like they lived the life of Jesus, because the life of the Spirit of Jesus is in me and living through me. And wow, I mean, it's just the sainthood is not the act of the will, that I don't do a bunch of good things so I become a saint. Sainthood is that I was baptized in Christ Jesus and received the gift of his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit transforms me and animates my life so that I live the life of Jesus.
Amen.
And people see the life of Jesus through me, which we call sainthood.
Come, Lord Jesus, do it again.
I know.
I love that. I love that statement, Dan, that the testimony is actually, it's an invitation for God to do it again in me.
Yeah.
Right. And so many times we see the stories of the saints. You know, we hear that great story of Saint Ignatius, right? When he was inspired by the lives of the saints and lying on a hospital bed. And that wasn't for him just entertainment. What was it? He realized that these stories, these testimonies were given so that it could give God an invitation to do it again in him.
Yeah.
And then he saw it lived out. You know, so when we hear about a story of like Blessed Carlo, even if you hear the testimony of something that's happened in the life of a friend or in the life of a child or in the life of a parent, Those are opportunities for us.
Yeah.
To realize, God, you are so generous. Like it's God's mode of operation to actually want to do in others, to do in you what he's done in others, to do in others what he's done in you. You know, we see that beautifully described in John chapter 14, verse 12, when Jesus says, they who believe in me will do the works that I do and do greater works than these, because behold, I'm going to the Father, right? That when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we actually have the capacity, we have the invitation, we have the opportunity to enter into the Christian story, right? That we become a part of that story of salvation.
Yeah.
And man, Blessed Carlo is not just not just the fluke that got it right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. One out of every single millennial in the world gets to be a saint. No. And that, I think that's kind of fun. I like, as I'm listening to some of these stories about Blessed Carlo, I'm thinking of kids that go to our summer camp. Like
yeah.
I won't do shout outs of their names, but man, we have some young adults. I mean, some young people, high schoolers.
You know who you are. We love you.
Yeah, you're amazing. But they're mobilizing their schools and they're doing actual outreach in their schools. And so they're like starting worship nights in their school communities, or they're gathering together for prayer every morning before school begins. They're going into their schools and they're evangelizing and bringing their friends in the church community. It's like, it's blowing my mind. Some of these things that I hear our high schoolers doing, it's like, oh my gosh. Or like middle schoolers who are starting small businesses to sell products and raise money to help others go on retreats or camps. It's like, or they're starting these little businesses to give money to the end of abortion or to the poor. It's like you're a seventh grader and you're like mobilizing your talent of making bracelets and you're selling bracelets online and you're giving the money to the poor. Like who are you? What are you doing? Like this is amazing. And these are like, I could tell you story after story after story of young people who, when they encounter the love of Jesus, they're set on mission for the church. And so this life that we honor in Blessed Carlo is not meant to say, hey, he's one dude who did it well. It's like, no, the Lord, Holy Spirit is raising up a young generation. Amen. Who understands the call to mission and they're going to get this done.
Amen.
That's exciting.
What's your favorite? And I think with Blessed Carlo, just talking about all those kids, we have a group of teenagers at a local Catholic church here who regularly will go to the homeless encampment near the parish and will give them food and toiletries. This they do about once a week as a group activity. And I mean, they raise the money themselves, buy the products themselves, and then distribute it, that usually with an adult who has to drive them. But I had trouble buying my own deodorant when I was a teenager. So that stuff is humbling to me. It's a nice reminder of like, they can do it. They got to figure it out. They can't even drive yet. And they figured it out.
Yeah.
But it's not a great secret. They know exactly what you know.
Yeah.
What you and I, all of us know, and that is that if you want to be holy, if you want to have a life that is more authentic and more full of love, you ask Jesus what he wants of you and then do it when he tells you to do it.
Amen.
And yeah. That is literally, it seems so simple, but it is that simple.
Yeah, I think that we're trying so, and I want to make sure I don't say this wrong. We're trying so hard to keep kids in the church that we're not mobilizing them to be the church. And and so like we're of course we want them to stay in the church, right? But the way they'll stay in the church is when you actually start mobilizing them to become the church. And so more than just learning all the theology of the church, more than just studying the faith, it's live the faith, become the faith, and then the teachings will flow forth from that and because they're animated in your life. Okay, Michael, what is your what's your favorite thing about Blessed Carlo?
It might actually be a quote that's become kind of his motto and everything, but he said once in one of his letters that all of us are born original, but many of us will die photocopies.
Wow.
And what that speaks to is an authentic love that authenticity is kind of the big driving market force now, so I even hate to use that word, but I see why it's also desirable. And Blessed Carlo kind of knew that secret, that if the most authentic life you could live was one in Christ, and that was the way you stayed original, that's how you became that unrepeatable thing, by remembering that God made you original and unrepeatable.
Yeah.
And that animated so much of his life. But I think the other part I love about him is I've told all these stories, these great comments he had, this wonderful love, but I love that he was so ordinary. He loved football. He played his PlayStation a lot. He liked meeting up with his friends to cheer on Milan. All these things that even in my late 30s are things I enjoy doing. They're very typical things. He went to public school. He had his struggles with loneliness. He had his struggles with making friends. And he was such an average teenager. But when you saw when you looked at him just a little closer, you saw he wasn't ordinary. He was far from an ordinary teen. Would that we had a Blessed Carlo in every parish. But at the same time, he wasn't doing anything extraordinary. He didn't write the Summa Theologica. He didn't go on a mission to China. He didn't go and pray to the natives in some South American backwater. He just went to mass every day. He went to confession once a week. And then he gave himself totally to whatever it was he felt he could do and what he was called to do. And he just did it, no question, with a heart full of love. And that ordinariness for me is one of the most attractive parts about his sanctity.
That's awesome. You know what you said, would that we not have a Blessed Carlo in every parish, and I bet we do.
Yes.
I bet hidden in every parish is a young saint. And one of the great tragedies is that we're not bragging on our young church enough, that we're not recognizing those quiet, simple, hidden lives of holiness, and we don't celebrate them. Like, why did Carlo have to die before we celebrate how awesome he was, right? And it's like, right, that's kind of what we do. We don't celebrate the greatness of our young people. We have a whole world that's like, the news agency that just tells us how terrible young people can be and all the bad things that are happening. We need to start celebrating the awesomeness of young people. Young people are not problems. They're solutions. They're not, the young generation are not the generation that's falling away. They're the generation that has hope to restore this world because they dream bigger dreams than we could ever imagine. And so let's find those young people in every parish and celebrate them and how can we get behind them? Yeah, that's exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, okay, so Michael, you've kind of been an understudy, if you will, or an advocate for a priest in France who wrote a book about Blessed Carlo. Could you share a little bit about Father Will and the book, A Millennial in Paradise?
Absolutely. Father Will is, speaking of young people or changing the church, he's not as young as Carlo, but I believe he's roughly my age, so well within the millennial generation. And he is a priest with the Paris Society of Missions, one of the oldest mission societies out there.
Yeah.
And he is currently serving in Cambodia full time, which is one of the reasons why he couldn't be here, as well as the language barrier. But Father Will first came across Blessed Carlo through the website about Eucharistic miracles. Mm-hmm. And he was so touched by it, especially when he found out that this was written by a young man who had passed away at only 15. He made himself known to Carlo's best friend, as well as his parents and his cousins and extended family. And just much like Blessed Carlo, he realized when he had found that treasure, that little pearl amidst oysters, and he went just all into it to write this book originally in French. And he actually titled it in French, A Geek in Paradise, talking about Blessed Carlo's love of computers and technology. But through that, he saw something that he wanted to share with everyone else, much like his Blessed Carlo wanted to share his great knowledge. Now, Father Will felt the same draw. And so amidst full-time mission work and all the work he has to do flying between Cambodia and France, he managed to write this lovely, just a little over 200 pages with pictograms and things like that, that is came straight from Carlo's family and people who knew him. And it's Blessed Carlo's the star of the show, don't get me wrong, but Father Will has done the church a great and unbelievable service by not only writing this, but allowing us to translate it into other languages.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great. So there's if you are interested in learning more about Blessed Carlo and hearing the stories of his life, check out the book, A Millennial in Paradise by Father Will. And how do you say his last name?
Conquer.
Awesome. So,
or conquer.
Yeah, or conquer. That's what it looks like. Yeah, I love that. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Thank you for encouraging us with the stories of Blessed Carlo and with your words. We just want to continue to bless you in your ministry and mission. You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. This is a production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear lives of the young saints that Aaron and I work with. We're going to tell you a few of their amazing triumphant stories and how they are like Blessed Carlo.
We'll be right back.
This is Bob Grappi, General Manager of Divine Mercy Radio in Melbourne, Florida. Catholic Radio has been providing Catholics and others solid ground in these particularly troubling times with news including threats to our culture, situational on-air counseling, apologetics for Catholics and others, and biblical teaching for growth and holiness. Catholic Radio is not just radio, it's radio that makes a difference.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Unplanned.
Available at EWTNRC.com and the EWTN app.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. And what a great show so far, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I had high hopes for the show, but I'm impressed.
I'm excited.
Blessed Carlo's sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so good to just recognize the ordinariness of him and the extraordinariness of him. That. And I don't know, I think as a parent, sometimes I had to step back and recognize the extraordinariness of my kids, right? Like that there's so much that goes on in life. And parents listening to the show, I wonder if you've asked the Lord to give you his eyes for your children.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
Like, Father, let me see my children like you see them. Mm-hmm. Because when the father looks at your children, he sees a saint in the making. He sees all the gold that's inside of them, all the gold that he planted. He sees his own fingerprint on them. And when we as adults see that in children, we can bring it out.
Yeah.
And when we don't see it, we don't bring it out.
Yeah. Amen.
And
we started the show today talking about how one of the core values here that we hold at Catholic Youth Summer Camp Damascus is that we believe in the potential of young people.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the cool things about hearing the story of Blessed Carlo is that, you know, Michael used that word ordinary. Mm-hmm. Ordinary often means like boring in our colloquial language. Carlo lived a life that we see 10,000 kids come through Damascus every year that are living that life.
Yeah.
Right. And if anything, I think it's a testimony to the fact that we say this in our formation process that we are not sinners that sometimes get lucky. Like, we're not doomed for failure. And sometimes, you know, every once in a while, the blind squirrel gets a nut.
Yeah.
But we are, we're saints.
Yeah.
We're saints. And we have the blessing, the grace that when we make mistakes that God can bring good, into that process. But we got to believe in that potential of ourselves, right? Yeah. That Jesus actually expects us to transform the world. And we see that.
Yeah, we have a culture that for whatever reason is lowering the bar for young people, and we need to be a church that raises the bar for young people. And I think, you know, like we can't, as a church, we can't lower the standards, we can't lower our expectations for young people, because when we speak a high bar into their lives, when we let them know the life of holiness that they're called to, the life of mission that they're called to, they raise to the bar and then they exceed beyond it and raise the bar for us. And I mean, we're seeing young people come to our camp and live life with us that are having powerful visions, and they have access to the voice of God, and they're experiencing miracles themselves, and they're praying for others who are experiencing miracles in their lives, that really, truly the supernatural and heaven and earth are touching each other through the lives of these young people. And they're middle schoolers. They're middle schoolers, and they're high schoolers, and they're so open and they're so hungry. And that's why Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to them.
Yep.
It belongs to them. And so if it belongs to them, let's give it to them and let's get out of the way and let them give it to us a little bit as well. And so, you know, I was really touched by the suffering of Blessed Carlo and the way he suffered through leukemia and offered that up beautifully. Last year, we had two different campers who suffered through leukemia, and it was amazing to watch. One of those campers sadly passed, and the other one, through a long battle and a long journey, it was healed and is and really doing well right now. And but it was amazing to watch both those campers and their families respond to the grace that was poured out on them. I mean, it was like, it was as if I saw saints being formed, not just these two young boys who endured their suffering with sanctity and like holiness, but then their whole
parents.
Families. Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, I see. I mean, one of the boys, his whole family came back to the church, and they're like, they're absolutely on fire right now. His sister just had a powerful conversion and is living her life completely for the Lord. His parents are on fire. I mean, it's beautiful. And the way that Michael described Carlo's suffering, they embraced it in the same way. So that's why I'm saying there literally are saints in every parish. We just have to find them.
Yeah. I hope this show has been inspiring for you. I know it's been inspiring for me as we're speaking. A lot of times we say these things, right? That we've got to see the potential in young people. We've got to see that we're surrounded by saints. Like, that sounds like a great Hallmark movie, but
it's touched by an angel.
It's true.
Yeah.
And when we can begin to see that, we can begin to honor and to speak with the dignity and to desire to see people's lives transformed, right? Maybe you'll think differently next time you pass that kid in the adoration chapel. To think like, hey, this is a kid that's going to be accomplishing, you know, heavy horsepower for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I get to be an advocate for this young person responding. You know, next time you pass a child in your home and you can think to yourself, Lord, you've given me a tremendous honor of stewardship over a life that you have destined for a mission of transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love that. And, you know, like honor the young person, like tell them that what you see in them and speak the gold that you see in them and speak what the Father shows you about their life. And you don't have to tell them to be a priest. Okay. Like if God's going to call them to be a priest, they'll get there. You don't have to tell them to be a priest. Just honor the holiness that's on them.
Yeah.
And God will reveal whether or not they're supposed to be a priest.
Amen. That's so awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you're hungry for the young church to be awakened, empowered, and equipped, you can check out more about our ministry at damascus.net. That's our hunger is to see middle schoolers, high schoolers, young adults to be awakened, empowered, and equipped to bring revival to the Catholic Church throughout the world and in America. And if you have a young person, perhaps a middle schooler or a high schooler, who you would like to see infused with the power of God and the faith in Jesus Christ. We're always available to serve. And so Catholic Youth Summer Camp, CYST.com. We have incredible summer camps for middle schoolers and high schoolers, and we just want to see their lives transformed to reach their potential.
You can learn more. You can register from the website. That was Catholic Youth Summer Camp, CYSC.com. I know we've still got some spots even for this summer.
Absolutely.
Regardless of when you're hearing this, we probably have spots for this summer.
We just say that just so you get on the website. I'm just kidding. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much. This is Beyond Damascus, a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you'd like this show and you want to share it with people, just download our podcast wherever podcasts are found and share it with others. And join us next time on Beyond Damascus.
Thanks and God bless.